every time you find out something new, you're like, oh no, oh no. How am I going to tell my husband this one?
Hello, and welcome to Walk Like a Hebrew. I'm Jody Odell. On this podcast, we talk to Christians and former Christians, believers and followers of the Messiah from all kinds of faith backgrounds who have discovered that God's law given through Moses at Mount Sinai was not actually nailed to the cross of Christ, as many of us have been taught. On Walk Like a Hebrew, we ask the question, how did you get from there, wherever that was, to here, living like a true Hebrew and literally following in the footsteps of our Messiah, just as the Bible instructs? Walk Like a Hebrew is a listener-supported podcast. We don't have sponsors, and we don't sell products to pay our expenses. If you enjoy hearing these testimonies and you would like to make a one-time or recurring donation, please visit sheholdsforth.com/donate. And now you can also support us through PodHero, a revenue-sharing subscription service that makes it easy and cost-effective to support all your favorite podcasts. Check it out at podhero.com. This is episode 16, an interview with sisters Dawn Douglas and April Schofield of Bakersfield, California. I met Dawn and April at the Shavuot celebration at Safe Haven Sustainable Farms in Orosi, California. If you want to find out more about Safe Haven Farms and their incredible ministries, check out episode 14, In the Garden with Brian and Carla Barnes. Something that is touched on here on Walk Like a Hebrew, but hasn't been really talked about yet, is the number of people who come into this walk without their spouses, and essentially walk alone. Dawn and April both came into the Torah-believing life at the same time, and both without their husbands. Fortunately for these two, they have each other. But often this isn't the case. We talk about the joys and struggles, and how exactly to cope when your family thinks you're crazy, how the walk and our wonderful Abba make it all worthwhile. And the story of how these women came to be Hebrews is pretty incredible, and it'll definitely touch hearts.
Welcome to Walk Like a Hebrew. I'm here today with Dawn Douglas and April Schofield, and we are in Orosi, California, celebrating Shavuot at Safe Haven Sustainable Farms.
Woohoo!
Welcome to the podcast, ladies. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
See, I told you you'd be a total natural.
Okay.
You're a total natural. if you could just give us a little, just tell us a little bit about yourselves.
You want to start?
No, you're oldest. You start.
Oh, thank you. Yes, as April.
Make that clear.
Yeah. As April pointed out, I'm oldest. So we're sisters, obviously. And I have two children. And one's 28. And he lives in Indiana. And my daughter is 13. And she's here with us at Orosi. And I'm married. But my husband is not a believer. So he stays at home. So we come to the feasts, and we come with my sister and her daughter.
I know. The wind is going to make a lot of noise.
I'm 46 years old. I am somewhat newly divorced. I was married for 13 years. We were both Christians, went to church regularly, and I have three kids. Two of them are from a previous relationship, and then we had a daughter together. So, yes, he's still a Christian and walking in that faith. Me and my sister came into the Torah walk together, and so it's been fun to celebrate these feasts together and have somebody alongside of us to encourage each other and be there for each other when we don't have a spouse that does so. It is nice to have kind of a partner in that.
So was Torah the reason for your divorce?
Not necessarily.
No. Okay.
It was a part of it, though. Okay. There was a lot of arguments, unfortunately, over my beliefs. He was very hostile towards what I was learning and started believing in following Torah. And it was very obvious, even on social media between us, being a married couple, he would get into it with me and questioning it. So that was hard. That was a really hard thing to go through and deal with, but
I bet. I'm sorry.
It's just part of standing up for what is right and following God along the way. And like I said, that wasn't ultimately what ended our relationship. It was just a very very hard trial.
Yeah.
And it prepared me for a lot of things in this walk too. I got prepared in finding answers to some of the questions that he was asking. And so that was good for me to learn along the way.
Good. Well, you know, Yeshua said, I came to divide families, to separate parents and children. And
a lot of people don't like to hear that, though.
No, there's a lot of things in the Bible that people don't like to hear.
Especially
a lot of hard sayings that Yeshua said.
Yes. He said some hard things.
People tend to ignore those ones.
Anyway. Okay, so you were a Christian, April.
Yes.
For how long?
Let's see, my first child was about 2 when I came into the Christian church. Their dad was not on board with that at all, but we were not married. And there was the conviction of that, not being married and then following God in that. That pretty much ended that relationship. And so, and I was pregnant at the time, had my second son. So that was about 19, 18 years ago, something like that.
Okay. Were you involved in ministry or anything like that?
Yes, we did.
Torah?
Mostly the children's ministry.
Right.
Of course, because you have little kids and you want to be there. They don't want you to leave them.
Isn't that how it works?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's what we did.
And it was fun. I love children. And so it fit. And Wednesdays and Sundays and just being involved in whatever we could with the kids. And
so how about your kids? Are they believers?
My youngest 2, yes.
Yeah.
My oldest one is still
oldest kids,
struggling.
Man.
He's seen a lot along the way and a lot of, not that God's caused any of it, but he's kind of just, you know, been open to what the world has told him and what it's had to offer. And so he's, I guess, trying that right now, unfortunately. So
what was your faith background?
Yeah. Growing up, our parents never took us to church. We weren't church goers. And so,
there's the shofar. It's okay.
Yeah, that's awesome. growing up, we weren't taken to church or anything. I remember being 5 and my mom sending me on a bus going to Sunday school. And I remember going by myself at 5 years old on this little bus. It was really scary.
Yeah, I bet.
But other than that, we grew up and not in the church. And my first husband and I decided to try church. We went for a couple years. That didn't work out. And so then in my second marriage, a girl invited me to Bible study. And I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go to Bible study. I didn't want to hear about Jesus, you know. And she just kept asking me and asking me. And finally I went and I ended up loving it and loving her. I decided to pray about where to go to church. I was led to a church. And it was a church that read the Bible, like, through the Bible. It wasn't, he did preach on it, but he was actually reading the Bible in church and in order.
Wow.
That's, Pastor,
that is unusual.
Yes. And so I'm thankful for that because then he would tell us to read ahead. So I was like, okay, I need to read the Bible and I need to read ahead of where he's
He probably he's going. Didn't expect where it took you.
No,
though, did he?
I don't think he did at all. Because they would tell me, we don't worry about you, Don. And I'm thinking, oh, I bet he does now. They did. They ended up worrying about me. But so, so I ended up finally getting baptized in 2013.
Wow.
That was when I got baptized in the Christian church. I was like April, where I couldn't get enough. I wanted
the hunger.
Yes, the hunger.
The
I was
hunger
going to women's
thirst.
Bible study. Juana's on Wednesday doing the children's ministry.
Mm-hmm. And your husband's not a believer at all?
No, he never went to church with me. He grew up in an Episcopalian church.
Oh, okay.
And so he just doesn't want to have anything to do with it
That's
anymore.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I just keep him in prayer. I don't push him into anything or try to convince him of anything.
One of the epistles of Peter talks about a woman who's married to an unbelieving husband. And often in the Bible, you see that when the head of the household becomes a believer, his entire household is saved.
Yeah.
Like with Abraham, even his servants became part of God's chosen family because he believed and he was faithful. It means a lot when at least one parent is walking in the way. It really does.
I agree.
So how did you get from there to here? Because that's a pretty big leap. I mean, mainstream church, they teach that all this stuff is done away with and that it's obsolete and that if you go back under the law that you're crucifying Christ all over again and all this stuff. So what was the thing? What was the thing that, how did you get here?
I think what first happened was I had some difficulties with my son and drugs. I found out my son was a drug addict. He went into what they call a psychotic episode, and he wasn't getting better. We had to watch him day and night because he would start fires. He would.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he would talk about the devil. He would.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, it was a trying time. So
terrifying for mama, huh?
Yeah. So I would go over, his dad would have him, and I would go stay the night so his dad and his wife could sleep. And I would watch him at night sometimes, and then we would take turns watching him. Thankfully, that was a time where I decided I needed to really grow as close as I could to the Father and ask him, you know, help. I need help.
Yes.
And so I'd pray for wisdom and help. And we were able to get him into a hospital. And because once you're over age, they won't and they will admit someone, but they won't keep them there if they don't want to be kept there.
Right.
So we couldn't get him to stay in the hospital because he would just leave.
Right.
So we finally got him into a hospital up north in Stanford, and they would keep him there. And so he was able to get help there. That was because at that time he would tell me a lot of things about what God was talking to him about, too.
Interesting.
And so I would look up these things and, you know, to see, what is he saying? What is this kid telling me?
Right.
So we started researching things. And one of the things I researched was the Sabbath, or it would come up in my research.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go to my sister and say, hey, look at this. Why aren't we keeping the Sabbath? And she's like, I don't know. And we would ask our elders and people, and they would give us, you know, different excuses. But it never set well with either of us why we weren't keeping the Sabbath. And so I think it was in May of 2015, we decided we're going to start keeping Sabbath. So I remember going to Costco, getting a big tray of sandwiches. They probably had pork. I don't even know. But we got a big tray of sandwiches. Okay. And basically we napped all day. We watched some videos and ate our sandwiches. And we're like, okay, maybe this is keeping Sabbath. We don't know. But we just know we're supposed to keep the Sabbath.
And awesome.
So that's how the Sabbath started for us, I think.
Yeah. We tried to find churches that were keeping Sabbath.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, we came across, you know, the Seventh-day Adventist Church and then found there was some other things in there that we probably didn't necessarily agree with.
Right.
And there wasn't any church, it felt like, that was coinciding with what we were finding and believing. So that's why we went
what the Bible actually says
on our own and said, well, I guess we're just studying this for ourselves, you know, because you're used to being in that church setting.
Yes.
And we missed that. I had been a part of it for a very long time. So it was hard to not have that anymore and not have the worship and the fellowship and all the friends that we had, you know, over the years.
We started with the revelation of other things. The Father kept showing me doves, and then he was showing her doves.
And I would see doves, yes.
So he kept showing us doves. Like, they would fly in front of my car, and my daughter and I would see them in a group of 12 flying by her dad. And I'm like, what? And she's like, oh, my goodness. She would send me pictures of doves all the time that she sees, my sister April. And I was like, oh, my goodness. What is with these doves? Why is Father keep showing us these doves? One night, I'm watching this video teaching, and it's talking about the word in Hebrew, dove, and it said tor. And it was talking about how it's a tor, and it does the little roll with the R. And then it said Torah. And I was like, Torah? I had heard of it on Instagram, but I didn't know what it was.
Right.
So I hurried and called April, and I said, he's showing us the doves, because in Hebrew, the word is Torah, and it has to do with Torah. We're supposed to be keeping Torah. And we're like, that's it. It just hit us. We're like, that's it. It's Torah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then you have to find out, what is Torah?
Yeah.
And little by little,
yes,
in small increments, because when you're not used to,
otherwise it's like drinking from a fire hose.
Yes,
right. Uh-huh.
So we started with the Sabbath, and you know we were keeping that.
We were
being faithful
that.
About that, and then the big reveal of Torah.
That's pretty
dun,
big.
Dun, dun.
That's big.
It was pretty big.
My poor husband, he's like, every time I would come up with it, I would like, oh no, I have to tell my husband I'm not eating pork anymore.
Oh no,
I have to tell my husband I'm not going to do Christmas. I mean, that's humongous.
Yes.
His family, and that's not a fun thing to tell your family. We're not keeping Christmas. It's like, oh my goodness. And the eye roll at the table when my daughter now won't eat it. And, you know, the pork or the, she won't eat the shrimp, which used to be her favorite. So he's saying, you know, you want some shrimp? And she's like, oh, no, thank you. And he's like, why not? Oh, we can't eat that. And then I get the look of, you know, the look of death. Like, why?
I know that look very well. Yes, indeed. Yes.
So it's been an adventure, to say the least. You know, every time you find out something new, you're like, oh, no. Oh, no. How am I going to tell my husband this one?
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
It is. I can laugh now. Staying here, like, telling my husband, well, we're going to camp out for a week with these strangers. And he's like, the poor guy. I mean, I really feel for my husband. What an awesome guy Abba has given me. And I mean, I know he's going to come to the truth. I'm just waiting. But in the meantime, the poor guy, he trusts me enough to take my daughter to camp out with a bunch of strangers on a farm a couple hours away. But I never felt more safe than I am when I'm here.
Here, I know.
I try to relay that to him, like, you don't understand, we have people that will protect us here. There's, you know, we don't worry here.
Yeah.
And it's so amazing to be here.
Have you been here before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We did Sukkot here.
Oh, did you?
We did last Shavuot here.
Did you do last Sukkot?
No, it was like.
Last Sukkot was my first Sukkot here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Ours was a couple years ago. We went, because when we first found out about Torah, we decided we need to keep the feast, okay? Shavuot came up, Sukkot was our first feast.
Sukkot, yes.
Sukkot was the first feast, and so we looked up Sukkot, where to go, and we prayed about. So we put all the places we found. Or was that the first one, or the second one? That was the second one, right? We went where the eagles were flying.
Yes.
That's why she was talking about.
We went to Eagles Point.
We went to Eagles Point. Because the Father was showing us where to go, where the eagles are flying. So we kept thinking, where are the eagles flying?
And we came across this one in Oregon that was talking about the bald eagles being there. And
it was talking about
on the river. We were staying at a campground right on the river.
You know who it was? Natan.
Oh.
Natan.
Lawrence.
Yes.
It was his last.
Hashanah Rabbah.
Yes.
Okay.
That was our first.
She said it right.
Yes. that was our first Sukkot.
Really?
Yes.
Yes,
wow.
We got to spend with him and his congregation at the time.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was really cool.
Our second Sukkot, we decided to put, because we didn't know where to go. We cast lots.
Perfect.
As we said.
As well as we could and knew how to. I mean,
what does that mean? What does that even mean?
Exactly.
Casting lots.
So we put names of these places of Sukkots in a cup, and we shook it around until one popped out.
And we were praying, Oregon. Don't make us drive to Oregon.
That's so long. And we knew.
And we knew before we looked at it, it was the Oregon one.
Was it?
It was a different Oregon one, but yes, one we had come across.
We're like, we're going to Oregon again, girls. And they're like, yay. 12-hour drive again.
Okay, so we already talked about where you were before, your one thing, the doves. That's amazing. I have to say that's one I have not heard yet. I didn't even know that. I didn't even know that the Hebrew word was I had no idea.
Turtle dove or dove. And,
Yeah. Yeah, no, I had no idea. That is really cool.
And isn't it cool when it hits you and you just know, like, that's it? That's what we've been waiting for, like, these past couple of months seeing doves is to find out about Torah. And we just knew. And when I called her, she's like, yep. And what's awesome is that Ava... I've seen a lot of people come into this faith in twos, like husband, wives, and I just so thankful that he brought my sister and I together because I don't know what I'd do without her.
Yeah.
And us being open and at a point, you know, where we want to know the truth.
When we were confronted with the Sabbath, it wasn't like, no, there's no, you know, we keep it on Sabbath. It was like, oh, let's look into that. Let's research it. Study.
That's good. One of my favorite things is making those little connections. Yeah. You know, how the Hebrew words mean things. And then all of a sudden you like open the New Testament and like, that's what that's about.
Right?
This wasn't what, you know, what's his name in the pulpit on Sunday morning was trying to make it be about. This is what it's about. And God made it that way. Yeah. Right? Why don't you guys tell me what your favorite resources are?
Well, one of my favorites is I use Bible Hub all the time.
Bible Hub?
Yeah.
With all the different translation
yes.
comparisons?
And I like to, yeah, with the interlinear, you know, and getting yeah. into the Hebrew.
Yeah.
And I use the Strong's and the Thayer's. I just mainly... I'm online. I have books at home mm-hmm. but for me it's like it takes longer. So
yeah.
I use
yeah.
all the resources online that yeah. I have them. I have a Suffer Bible. I know some people like that. Some people
Which
don't.
Which one?
The Suffer.
Oh, Cepher.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Got it.
I don't know how to say it as right way.
I don't know how to say it.
Some say Cepher, some say Suffer.
So I have that with okay. the extended the extra biblical scriptures in those.
Okay.
So
like the Apocrypha?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, Esword in our group,
okay.
They'll use that at yeah. times to do our studies.
With the Esword app.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you have any particular people you like to listen to ever?
I love Bill Cloud.
Yeah. Yeah, Bill Cloud.
Yeah.
I like The Way Biblical Fellowship. I think they're in the United Kingdom or somewhere, but
okay.
there's two guys that do that.
They're very passionate. Yeah.
Yeah. Very convicting,
yes.
too. So just be ready if you do just, yeah, decide to
okay.
listen to them.
I like 119, too. I think they do amazing,
yes.
Especially for beginners when we were first coming
yeah.
into this. They were huge
yes.
in showing us truth. Some people, as they go along, oh, 119, you know.
Yeah.
But they are
yeah.
amazing. They do
yes.
amazing stuff for
they do.
And to
coming.
Show scripture
yeah.
to back up, you know.
Yes.
What they believe, and
yeah.
I think that's
how
cool.
and why.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah.
I it's important.
Yes,
even their memes. I remember.
Oh yeah.
You know when
we
was,
post those a lot. Of,
you, yeah,
well, I do.
Was,
yeah,
on
we use
social
those.
Media.
They make great memes.
They do.
Yes.
They're
they
great.
Do you have anything else that you would like to say?
I just think like you were talking about the ladies out there that maybe their husbands aren't on board.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to still follow the Father in his ways and glorify Him in what you do, and to do it in a gentle way. It doesn't have to be given to your husband in a way that is harsh or, you
right.
know, I'm going to do this or that. It can be given in a loving, gentle way. And who knows what the Father will do through that.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's a lot of us here at these feasts that are just here without our husbands or that
are looking for husbands.
Look, yeah. Like April.
All the single ladies.
I would probably speak on that too, to not maybe sacrifice what you're looking for in a man
quality.
Too. Yeah, qualities.
Don't
and
settle.
Don't settle. Yeah. And so it is hard at times not to have a husband and sharing in those things. But yeah, to not settle for somebody that maybe doesn't follow Torah. Maybe he's just a believer and you
right.
think that maybe you can bring him into Torah.
Right.
And I've made that mistake. And so you want somebody that's where you're at.
Yes.
In this walk. It helps to have somebody come alongside you rather than
yeah.
from behind.
So here's that First Peter. It's First Peter 3. But it says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your conduct accompanied by reverence.
And I think people have to realize, too, that Paul even talks about if your spouse doesn't follow, stay with them, but, you know, they might leave you. So that tells me that there are going to be some that leave you because
yes.
you're going to be walking this walk.
Yeah.
And you're going to be living differently.
Yes.
And they might leave. And it's not because you're doing everything that they say.
Right.
No, it's because you're following the commandments now.
Yes.
That's why they leave. It's not that they're leaving you because you're not following the commandments.
Right.
And you're
right.
going to listen to them.
Right.
So that tells me that there is friction. That
yeah.
friction happens when you start following, you know, and walking this walk.
You think that coming into following Yahweh is going to make life better.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Or easier, right?
Easier,
yeah.
more something.
Yeah.
I mean, it is more fulfilling and more satisfying
yeah.
than life before, but it's not easier.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Thank
yes.
you very much for sitting down with us. Thank you for listening to Walk Like a Hebrew. You can follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Walk Like a Hebrew,
And don't forget to share this podcast with friends and family. Many thanks to Jack Lane for the music. To get a free copy of his CD, Lord, I Lift Your Name, send an email to jacklane@earthlink.net. May Yehovah bless you. We'll catch you next time.